Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, it's Rod and Double G back here midweek. We don't usually do midweek shows. We don't usually do preview shows, but we are back because when we last left the fine folks of the audience of the We Want Winners podcast, we were unsure who the 49ers were going to play because the Niners played Saturday night against the Seahawks. And then Sunday, we figured out it's going to be the Eagles, not the necessarily the team we wanted to play, but that is the reality. And you know what else is kind of a harsh reality is if the Rams take care of business against Carolina, which I think most people expect to happen, even though Carolina did beat them during the regular season. But for the Niners to actually get to the NFC title game, they would have to go through the Eagles. And then through the Seahawks, which is a rough two-game matchup there because playing in Philly. And I looked, and looks like it's possible rain. I think it's going to rain before the game for sure. And then to go into Seattle now, the Niners went into Seattle earlier this year and beat them. But this feels like a slightly different Seattle team. So, Rod, I think when we went off the air on Saturday night, we were kind of hoping and feeling that maybe we could get a little bit of a break when it comes to the way the tournament breaks out, but we did not. We got the worst case scenario. So what are you feeling on this Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, as we talk about this game?
I mean, in looking, reviewing, basically what I had thought all along, you look at the Eagles season and they have been up and down. And what you hope is that we can kind of catch them kind of napping or taking us for granted. But when I just start looking at the matchups, it is pretty scary. Plus, when you before we came on, you alluded to our injury situation. Our linebackers don't look good, and that's not a good place to be with the Eagles especially. So, yeah, it's going to be tough sledding.
So Tatum Bethune is out. He hurt his groin, so he's out for the game for sure, which means Eddie Kendrick starts at middle linebacker. And then it also looks like Luke Gifford is dinged up and D. Winter is dinged up. Now, some may go, well, you know, Luke Gifford's not fantastic, but that means that the player beneath him,
who is Jared Wallow,
the guy who we barely realized was on the team last week, that means he may get a lot of reps. So that is the situation. And then Nick Martin was put on injured reserve and he would have to sit out one more week. But Kyle Shanahan said he wasn't even sure if he was still in concussion protocol. So I don't know, you know, Kyle wasn't doing his injured reserve homework when they had asked him the question. So yeah, it's, you know, you get to this long season and a lot of teams are like this, just dinged up. Unfortunately for the Niners, because of the stakes of Saturday night's game, they could not sit out a lot of guys who may have been dinged up, kind of like, you know, what some of these other teams did, because Josh Johnson beat the Eagles because no Jaden Daniels and no Marcus Mariota. And you saw that across the league with lots of backups playing football. But the Niners couldn't afford that. Neither could the Seahawks, by the way. They were both playing for that bye week and for the position of the number one seed in the NFC. And you have to go for it like they did. And they just came up short, unfortunately. But, you know, I think this against the Eagles is the reality. But I think if you have any sort of if you believe that the Niners can actually get through this game, it is because of what you said, which is the Eagles haven't really been a serious football team all year long from the perspective of talent and whatever, you know, just roster and defense. Like, they should be a decided favorite against the 49ers, but there's that Super Bowl hangover thing that people talk about. Saquon Barkley is not the same guy he was last year. Jalen Hurts is not the same guy he was last year, at least during the regular season. We'll see when it comes to the playoffs, because this is what they're playing for. But yeah, like, I think if you're a Niners fan and you're looking for a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, it is that, can the Eagles turn it on in the playoffs when they couldn't really get themselves up for the entire regular season?
Yeah, it's when looking at the matchups, it's weird because, like you said, I do this every week, but we never talk pregame. But looking at the numbers, it's been this way for several weeks. The obvious matchup for Philly to try to exploit is AJ Brown. We are just ill-equipped to deal with him specifically, but wide receivers in general. But there's this glaring weakness in the run game. And while Saquon Barkley has not had a great year coming off that other year, that you would think that's where they would strive to attack us. But, you know, as Kyle mentioned last week, before last week's game, teams, you know, for some whatever reason, well, and it's not for whatever he said, for whatever reason, but we all know teams look at that secondary and they just see food and yep. They're like, we're just going to attack these dudes. And that's, and we, they, you know, teams have let us off the hook running the ball. Obviously, Seattle did not do that last week. And I think that you're the one who hit me to that. And I've been thinking about that, is how I think that might have had more to do with them, you know, worrying about Sam Darnold losing the game.
Yep.
More so than, you know, obviously they had a run advantage, but they clearly went into that game not wanting to put the ball in Darnold's hand. And I don't know that Philadelphia is, because, you know, Hurts is very careful with the ball. So I don't know that they would be so inclined. So it's going to be interesting to see from that standpoint. And then from the Niners standpoint, you know, Fangio and his pre-snap, you know, trickery is what's going to give Brock problems, along with their obviously very talented front seven. So, yeah, we got to keep Brock upright and, you know, give him some time to try to do something. This is just an awful matchup. I was really hoping to go to Chicago.
Yes,
honestly,
that was the way. Like, this is it's so crazy how the NFL kind of they've created this way that they can eventize even the most unimportant game of the season for most teams, which is this last week of the season. And, you know, they're stacking certain games on certain days. The only time it didn't really work was Carolina and Tampa, because that game was on Saturday. Tampa wins, but then you have to wait on Sunday to see who wins the meaningless Falcons and Saints game. And then Tampa's win against Atlanta or against Carolina kind of becomes meaningless, and Carolina backdoors their way into the playoffs. That was the only one where it didn't work. Like, I wonder if they knew that was the scenario, they would have maybe changed the schedule a little bit. But like, they made this Niners and Seahawks game like one of the most important games of the year. And I think in our hindsight, we were like, if that game is important for us, then that means we had a good season. So that you can also take that away from this season. Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, I was telling Brad, who's on Thompson and Clark, he's a Rams fan, And we were talking about how, what are the scenarios? And so I want to ask you now, if you were to rank the NFC playoff teams in, you know, who you think is the best teams 1 through 7, how would you have ranked them? Or how would you rank them right now?
It has to be, I would say, I think that the Davante Adams injury is, I mean, him being out affected what we saw in the last weeks. I mean, he led the league in receiving touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I think Seattle is the team, and the odds makers agree. And then, how about you?
So I think what's amazing about how this playoff is going to shake out is every single team has an asterisk of some sort, because if you believe Seattle's the best team, the one thing that you're worried about, it really is Darnold. Is about his ability to make a big play when they need it. If you're the Rams, you go, okay, maybe defensively we are not up to par, but we can score with anybody. So I would put both of those teams at 1A and 1B, and depending on who they play is how I would rank them. I would put the Eagles at 3, because I think if you are even the biggest cynic, at least them having a home game in week 1, you go, okay, like that, they are the Super Bowl champions for a reason. I would put the Niners at 4 and the Bears at 5. And then it shakes out that way. I think the Niners, if they played Chicago this week, I think that's like a 50-50. That's a coin flip football game. And it's only that way because the Niners are still banged up. It's only that way because these are the baby Bears, right? Like they have not been in this scenario. Caleb Williams has not been in a game like this. Their defense, Brock feels much more comfortable playing against Chicago than he does against Seattle or Philly. So that's how I would kind of lay that whole thing out. And then, then it's probably Packers and then Panthers. Like, there was a way for this playoff bracket to shake out where it was a much easier path for the Niners. Unfortunately, the only way, or the way that they're probably going to have to get to that title game is through the two hardest teams for them. And that is just the way that things shook out. And it's the way that it happens when you can't win the game that you need to win so that you're in the driver's seat. Because what happens is I believe this is how it works, which is if the Niners do beat the Eagles, and that's a giant question, then the Rams beat the Panthers, then they reseed, and then the Niners go to Seattle. If the Panthers were to beat the Rams, the Panthers would go to Seattle, and the Niners would shake out the other way. We can look at it from the chalk perspective. That's not always how it's going to break out, but that looks like the likely scenario. But if the Niners had gone to Chicago and then maybe they get the Rams before Seattle, like that is a whole other thing that could have happened. Like there is a path where the Rams could host the Niners in the NFC title game, but again, the Niners imagine they win in Philly. Like how with Trent, with Pretty Ricky, those guys missing the game prior, and then possible injuries coming out of that game, and then you got to go play another crazy physical game in Seattle. Like that is a tough task. And at this point, if you're a Niners fan, you go, well, you know, you just got to let it fly. You just got to see what happens and try, you know, this is a single game elimination for a reason. But the football fan in me says, man, this may be the hardest thing for any team in the playoffs on both sides. The Niners seem to have the hardest path to get to the title game.
it's one of those things where, you know, sliding doors. You talk about the Panthers beating the Rams. You sure wish maybe the Rams win that game in November as opposed to losing it. And how that will, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice. And so it's not like the Panthers are going to sneak up on the Rams. They are very aware that they can go in there and lose because it's happened. It happened, you know, a month ago. They've already done that. So, you know, not, you know, the playoffs, you go in aware, obviously, but they're very aware that they can lose in Charlotte. So maybe they are just that extra bit of hungry, or, you know, whatever the cliche, the sports talk cliche is, wary, just more wary going in this week, as opposed to maybe, you know, the Panthers can, you know, I don't think anybody catches anybody slipping at this point of the season, but yeah, it's a tough road for us to, because even if we were to able somehow to win this game, what I saw on Saturday just has me very wary of us going up to Seattle. And, you know, I don't know that this team can handle another physical because I fully expect this week to be a real physical game. And it's, I think the injuries are just, you know, it's a tough ask for this football team from here on out, honestly, I think.
Now there is a type of fan who's going to go, man, they should have known that they weren't this good, and now they're going to have a bad draft pick and X, Y, and Z. This is the entire reason why these guys play. Like, they wanted to win as many football games as possible. They wanted to, you know,
rightfully so.
Juwan Jennings having the year that he had, which, you know, I think in some instances was a little disappointing, but in some, you know, he finished off the season fairly well. It looks a lot better to other teams, the fact that the Niners were as good as they were versus if they were like a 5-12 team. Like these guys, they don't put their health and their life in danger to just be like, yeah, we're fine tanking so that the team that signs us to this contract for this season gets a better draft pick. Like, that's not how these dudes look at it. So I'm very happy with the season that they had. It's just unfortunate for us as fans that it shook out in the way that it did with the roll of the dice and how the playoffs work. And, you know, I looked at the playoff schedule. So all the two NFC games in the wild card round are on Saturday. Two of the three, I should say. And then two AFC wild card round games on Sunday. And then they get the Monday night one. So we'll know, you know, how the Rams game and how the Packers game shakes out before the Niners even play. And I don't know if that gives them any sort of like motivation, but if, you know, if the Panthers win that game, then the Niners are like, oh man, we just got to get through this Philly game. And then we don't have to go to Seattle. So I don't know if players look at it that way. I don't think the coaching is going to change. Maybe a little bit of inspiration in some way to scoreboard watch, but at least we will know as fans, you know, how those games shake out before we even take the field on Sunday.
Yeah, it is going to. I'm looking forward to. Because part of me thinks that this should be a close game. I think that there is a path for us to win this game. I just hope we don't get overwhelmed quick, because I could see it going both ways. I could see it being a close game like that. I say that knowing that in my heart, I never really felt like we had a chance to win that game on Saturday, but it was, you know, points wise close.
Yeah.
I just hope we're in this game in the fourth quarter. That's my hope, is that we can just hang on and get there to where we give Brock a chance to do something special. Because that would be such a great story for him with his last playoff. You know, the whole story around his last playoff game in Philly. I think that would be it would be a great story for him to come back and, you know, play well at the very least, and to win it. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, I think the most important thing for the offense is just for Trent to be back. I know that he's going to do everything humanly possible to be healthy for that game, but as we saw on Saturday night, no Trent means that the defense is just licking their lips. They're like, we can do so many more things that we want to do if that dude is not playing and Austin Pleasance is playing. So I think that is first and foremost. And I don't know if the gamesmanship of that, if Kyle and John Lynch are going to kind of just make him questionable all the way up to the first snap of the game. Pretty Ricky, I think, is important. They've played without him a lot this year, so you know he's not. It's not like if he doesn't play that they don't have a shot, because they've learned how to play without him. It just really limits what they can do, and it makes George, you know, a lot more important in the passing game. And then if Trent is there, then you're not as worried. Where you need George to do as much blocking as he sometimes does. So there's lots of like little domino effects relating to Trent. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, CMC is like, man, that he makes my life so much easier too, because there's just so many things that I just imagine, like, the defensive coordinator and the defensive coaches going like, okay, here are all the things we're doing if Trent is not playing, and we're not as scared to do them as if he was playing. So I think that's the biggest X factor for the Niners, is just having Trent Williams there.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
And then on the defensive side, as we mentioned at the top, this linebacker situation is very scary. Now, as Saquon Barkley, in his off year, he was still averaging 4.1 yards a carry. He still had 1,100 yards. I think they wanted to limit his touches, but he still had 280 carries. It's not like, you know, it's not like they just decided that it was going to be Tank Bigsby, you know, taking half of the carries. That was not the situation at all. Though Tank had almost 6 yards a carry when he did take the football. But Saquon, you know, I think we'll know very early on what the game plan is. And then, you know, and then they'll do the stuff where Jalen kind of, if Saquon starts cooking, then Jalen will hold the ball there and decide whether to give it to him or not. And that opens up their passing game. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, if the Niners defensive game plan has got to be like, man, if we can keep Saquon honest and unlike on Saturday night, that's probably the best path to victory, because they don't rush the passer. You know, Jalen Hurts will take some sacks, but a lot of that comes from him wanting to make plays with his legs sometimes and maybe not throwing the ball away when he should. But he's a game breaker himself. So that's the Niners defense is going to have their work cut out for him. And I think it goes back to what we said going back several weeks, is that the offense is really the thing that needs to step up, because they're going to need to outscore teams. Now, I don't know how you do that in Philly without at least, you know, a good effort by the defense. So if the defense gives up 30 points here, it may be insurmountable. But if they give up 24 points, then maybe we could win a 27-24 game. But I think if Jalen is just, you know, is just cooking, I think it's going to be a tough one. But that is my hope, is that the defense just, you know, they play the best possible game that they can play on this stage and give the Niners offense a fighting chance.
Yeah, like, you know, like Salah says, you know, he said 2 weeks ago, you know, we've given up the thought of leading the league in yards given up. We're going to give up yards, but if we can hold them to field goals, that could be the hope, is that they are just able to keep them from scoring. But again, what you were talking about with Hurst, the thing that worries me about him is once they're in the red zone, you know, his efficiency rushing the ball is a problem. And I think, you know, with our linebackers and with our front seven's issues, I think he becomes, you know, once we are in the red zone, he becomes a much more viable threat. Couple that with AJ Brown and his physical play. I want us to be able to hold in the field goals. I just think that the defense is going to be, they're going to have their hands full.
The RPO, I remember when we played in the NFC title game in Philly and Brock got hurt. The RPO just looked like it was just unstoppable. And then when we beat them in the regular season, I was like, okay, like this defense is actually making him adjust to them a little bit more. I think we're going back again to where we're going to be at the mercy of what he wants to do. And some of this is going to have to be who can make a play. These young DBs, you know, they are sometimes can be risk takers. I thought, you know, even though we know it was Sam Darnold and he's a different quarterback than Jalen, there were some moments where I was like, oh, Mustafa's here to play, man. This dude is hitting. Upton Stout's making big tackles. You know, Lenore, I know he want, you know, he made the claim of he wanted Smith and Jigba, and they're like, we don't really play defense that way. And then I think Aikman was making fun of him a little bit. Just the idea that, you know, these young DBs, they know that they kind of have to grow up in these playoffs or in these big games. There's opportunity there for them to step up and make big plays. And at this point, that is kind of what you have to hope for, knowing the linebacking core is so beat up, knowing that the defensive line is just, you know, generally just getting pushed around by the good offensive lines. And so maybe, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there for somebody in the secondary to make some big plays. I know Jair Brown is dinged up a little bit. We'll see. In a secondary where we almost got no interceptions, he's maybe the best playmaker we have back there. But yeah, there's some things that also, if you're a longtime 49ers fan, I have a feeling we're going to look at this game and go, okay, we can actually make some decisions about next year's team or create some excitement about next year's team. If Upton Stout makes a couple of big plays, you're like, okay, like he's going to be in the mix. So, you know, because that secondary is very young and you want to see them you step up. Now, this is not the 1981 secondary, but you had mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about some of our favorite defenses. There's no Ronnie Lott on this defense, for sure. He was a first-round pick out of USC, like very highly touted. But that 81 team had a very young secondary, and that secondary like showed out in the playoffs. And that was how they made their name, Eric Wright and Dwight Hicks and Lott and Carlton Williamson and those guys. Now, that would be a great time for these guys to shine, but Niners lore says that, you know, if you have a good team, your players make themselves known in the playoffs. So that would be kind of an optimistic viewpoint. If the Niners can come away with victory, I do think some of it would be because somebody in the secondary steps up and makes some plays.
Hey, revisiting the hot licks. That would be awesome. That's one of my favorite, the White Hicks and the Hot Licks. That's one of my favorite sports nicknames. But yeah, that would be great if for nothing else, if, you know, we come away with a much better feeling about our young players, you know, in a even in a defeat, if we show well. To a certain extent, we can already say that I'm not ready to do a postmortem quite, but the fact that, again, I rather than being disappointed, the fact that we were in a game in week 18 that if it goes the other way, you know, we could have had the number one seed and home games throughout the playoffs is a remarkable turn of events for this team. And I think that they found something in, you know, guys like West and Collins and Sam O seems to be, at very least, all three of those guys are rotation players. Mm-hmm. Sala and, you know, Kyle seem to think that Collins has much more upside than that. And they've said the same thing about Williams, but we have been able to see the progression of Alfred Collins because he's actually playing. So that has, it's been a, it's been good for us in that way. And again, like I've said at the trade deadline, I think that's the way this team has to go rather than trying to pick up a, you know, Leonard Floyd or, you know, somebody who got cut at, you know, the trade deadline or whatever, and giving those guys those kind of reps. Just see what you got with these young guys. See what you got with Green and Stout and the like. And so you've got a head start on next year, and you know what you need to do free agency and draft when that comes up. So, yeah, I think you've learned a lot about this team this season, and hopefully they can go in there and fight and make this a game this week.
Yeah, look, we are very realistic, and we've been realistic all season long, and this has been so much more of a fun season than last year.
Yes.
And we're not, you know, we're not putting the L in the box score quite yet. The odds say that this is going to be a really hard game and probably the worst of the matchups for the Niners, but they've proven all season long that, hey, like they are playing above what we have expected. So I think they're going to, if I know anything about kind of how Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch think about these things, just go back to when there's the 3rd and 17 play and Seattle kind of did the give up run play. And then you see John Lynch in the booth and he's like doing like the Macaulay Culkin Home Alone face because he couldn't believe that they gave up 19 yards on that play. Like these guys, they're lifers, right? They if anything, they want to prove that this football team is not the same football team that we saw on Saturday night. And they're going to, you know, so I think the Niners are going to come out aggressive and they're going to come out and they're going to fight. Now, do they have the talent necessarily to stack up and go out and win one in Philly? We'll see. And so if that happens, I'm going to be the most jazzed person. You know, Rod and I will come back here on, you know, Sunday evening and say, yeah, man, they balled out and our pessimism was probably a little strong. And you know, sometimes when you're a fan, your pessimism overcomes your optimism because you don't want to feel like you fell for the banana in the tailpipe, right? Like I know there are some Niner fans who are like, we got this game. We're going to go into Philly. We're going to win. And if they don't, then they're going to feel so sad and frustrated because they had such high expectations. I'm a little bit of a lower my expectations kind of fan with all of my teams. But at the same time, when they do it, if they do win, if they can pull this game out, I'm going to be just as fired up as anybody. And I'd be willing to say, hey, yeah, I missed on this one. And I hope that actually happened. I hope we come in on Sunday and go, you know what? We had this game wrong, and here's why. So that's my hope for Sunday after the game.
Absolutely.
All right. Do you have any predictions on what you think is going to happen in this tournament on both ends? Like, if you were you are a betting man, what would be your Super Bowl? And we can eliminate the Niners out of this thing. If not the Niners, what do you think the Super Bowl could possibly look like come to Levi's in February?
My prediction is, and this is more so I'm thinking Rams and Texans is my prediction. Rams Texans is my prediction. See, I'm stuck between the NFC team is the one that, because I vacillate between the Rams and the Seahawks. But I think the Rams are just a little bit more explosive offensively. So I'm going to go with that. And then I just think that they found the Stroud looks good coming back, and they found something with that young back Jordan there. And they don't, with that defense, they don't really need that much offensively. I really like that team.
I'm
rooting for D'Amico. Let's be real.
I look at the other side, and every single team, like, I agree with you. Like, if I was to say who's the most complete team in football left, I would say the Rams would edge it out for me. I would have Philly next, though you don't know how they're going to get up for this stuff. And then I'd have Seattle. And the only reason I'd put Seattle third is just because of Darnold, because the QB so important during the playoffs. But then if I look and I go, man, Denver is the Seattle of the AFC. Does anybody believe that Bo Nix is going to get it done? And then if you look at who's the best player, like who's the player that you would kind of look at to go on fire. I mean, maybe it's Josh Allen, but if you watch Buffalo play all year long, they were kind of like Philly in that they were often just as disappointing as they were good. Nobody believes in Jacksonville. I mean, can you imagine people picking Jacksonville to go to the Super Bowl? Like that is wild. And they may be one of the best teams on that side, but are you ever going to pick that quarterback to beat another good quarterback?
I just can't. And I know I'm kind of picking at 49er fans now, but when you watch that Buffalo team, they are a BA away from being a really good football team. He just really doesn't. Shakur is fine, but Josh Allen needs an X. He needs a number one receiver for them to be serious. And again, it's one of those things where as crazy as it sounds, I think Sean McDermott might be coaching for his job. I mean, because how many times? Because now it's open. There's no Mahomes there. There is no Lamar there. This is it. It's laid out for Josh Allen, but I don't. They just seem like a really unserious team to me. But if you were to tell me that Josh Allen goes on a heater and puts him on his back and care, he is the kind of player that absolutely can win three games in a row by himself. I can't, he's Superman. He's literally one of the best players in the league, but that defense is suspect. They don't really, they really just don't have the weapons that they have put around him are just, it's problematic. So yeah, that's why it comes down on Houston. Like you say, are you really going to pick Bo Nix to win? I'll have to see it. I will have to see
it. Somebody is going to come out of that side of the bracket as a they're going to earn their stripes, and like you said, no Chiefs, no Ravens, so they may earn their stripes without having to go through what people would consider to be the best teams. But I mean, Mahomes is gonna be out for the whole year next year, possibly with his injury. Who knows when he's going to be able to come back? So it might be like 2 years before they get one last shot to get in there. So the AFC is so interesting, but at the same time, you look at the quarterbacks and you're like, I don't know that I trust anybody to go out there other than Josh Allen. So that side's going to be really fun. And I think the NFC is just going to be a battle of attrition. Who lasts? Who's the team that's left standing? If they are not beat up by that Super Bowl game, The best team left, it might be the best team in football. And so that's what makes this thing so interesting. All right, Rod and I will be back after Niners and Niners and Eagles on Sunday, and we'll talk about all of it, and hopefully we'll have some good things to say about that game. All right, for Rod, I am Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.